Kristen Weeks Duncanson, and my family and I farm near Mankato, Minnesota, in a town called Mapleton, and we are a corn, soybean, small grains, and hog operation. My husband is fifth generation, and this is my 32nd cropping year.
Kristen, how would you describe the impact of the current trade situation on your family farm?
So I don't need to tell you that starting when the tariffs were first announced as an option in, was that early April, we saw some market ups and downs that were pretty disturbing. And keep in mind that we're used to watching prices go up and down with things like weather scares or difficult times getting in to plant or maybe great success getting in early. Those kind of cyclical things we know how to weather, excuse the pun. But seeing those kind of crop prices and changes due to the tariffs was not something we had anticipated. I think also we've seen when we look to price things like that include any steel or aluminum or just look around the countryside at some of the input costs that we're looking at for next year as well as the low pricing for this fall, we've seen that kind of impact. I also think it's important to keep in mind that rural communities are dependent on the strength of the economy of farmers, especially here in southern Minnesota. So in talking with my dear friend who owns the grocery store, she said, you know, people are not spending like they usually do. The hardware store, to people who build bins, construction crews, and the local implement dealer are all kind of unnerved by what this will mean for them. We estimate in our hog operation that it's costing between $18 and $22 a day in price downturns. So as well as, you know, we feed part of our crop through our hog operation, which is an okay thing when the prices are lower, that we have lower feed costs, but not all of our crop goes through those hogs. So it's a bit of a cycle, but quite disturbing at this point to try to plan ahead when we've seen very tight margins over 5 years, and now we're going into another cycle that is out of our control too.
And with that in mind, I want to come back to a word that you used, anticipate. You did not anticipate these trade disruptions. And as you think about marketing grain, marketing your hogs, those decisions take a lot of thought and preparation. And so like you've kind of already described and talking about the impact to this point, it's got to be just about impossible to plan ahead when you're dealing with so much uncertainty.
It is hard. I think people need to keep in mind that are outside of the agricultural production system that we're making decisions for a crop we haven't harvested yet for next year and trying to anticipate what that's going to look like becomes quite difficult and disturbing, I think, would be a good way of putting it. Our hog cycle, as you know, we're in the finishing end, which means we bring a baby pig to us at about 40 pounds and it stays with us till market time. That's on a cycle. So we're already looking at pricing that's far out. And it's not an easy thing to do. I also think it's important to keep in mind that these relationships that farmers have built with the customers, Chinese customers and customers around the globe, have taken time. And so to try to anticipate, even if something with the tariff situation ended and we were back on a neutral playing field, how do we anticipate how long it would be before we win those customers back? And that's not any different than any other industry. Suffice it to say, my friends who are in the metal manufacturing building business in Mankato are in kind of the same boat. How many customers will they lose because during this time of tight pricing, what does that do to them or the people who build buildings and bins out of metal? So it's not unusual for other industries too, but for ours, it's not something that we had planned on at all.
Yeah, obviously a very concerning time for you and your family, and you're probably asking yourself, what can I do? And I understand that you decided to get involved with Farmers for Free Trade. Tell me about the organization and why you wanted to be a part of it.
Farmers for Free Trade is an opportunity to work with farmers and ranchers around the country to put a voice and some faces to what this tariff situation and trade situation means to us, to really work towards putting some numbers and talking about the implications, not on just our farm, but in rural communities across the country. We have a long time been dependent and grateful for trade opportunities, and to lose those really puts a dent in what we do out here. So we have spent some time working with Farmers for Free Trade. You know, it's no secret that I've had some experience in Washington over my career, my long career, as I'm now getting old. So this was a group that we knew we needed to add our voices to.
And the group has launched a Tariffs Hurt the Heartland campaign. I would imagine that the message is similar to what we've been discussing already, but how has that campaign been strategically rolled out, in your opinion?
Well, I think we're talking to folks who are engaged in both the Ways and Means Committee on Capitol Hill or the committees that deal with trade on the Senate side from a policy point of view, but also looking for others around the country who have stories about how these tariffs are affecting them, real live stories, real people that want to make sure that the rest of the country knows what does this mean. And granted, we don't want to pit one industry against another anywhere. I mean, look at Minnesota. We have people who are involved in the steel industry in the northern part of the state. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is making sure people realize that the residual effects of these kind of trade situations have real life consequences. So that's been a strategy through this whole period, is making sure people know what this means. Granted, over time, the way we've had to do business with China hasn't been an equal playing field for all the industries or for U.S. companies, and we realize that. But as we move forward, we've got to be strategic in how we negotiate with trade and trade treaties and other things involving agricultural businesses across the globe.
Kristen, what are your thoughts on the USDA's $12 billion trade aid package?
That's a tough one. We really want to maintain and establish new markets. That's where we want to be. That's what farmers and ranchers and ag processors across this country want to do, is work in a market, a free, open market. On the other hand, there's some people out there in our industry who are coming very close to having difficulty paying those bills. So, we understand why this is done. The CCC has had this system in place for times such as these. It's not what we want to do. Eye on the prize, folks, and that's to negotiate a good treaty, whether it be NAFTA or unilateral agreements, so that we can buy and sell goods across the globe.
Anything else on trade that you want to make sure we talk about?
Just that I think that these situations have real people that it affects, and I'm not sure that the consumer is seeing what this means to prices in the grocery store yet, but they may eventually. So I think an awareness of what we're trying to do out here and raising through Farmers for Free Trade, the awareness is a good thing, and keep your eyes open.
How has the 2018 growing season been for you?
We had a really wet spring, and we received a lot of rain in June. But as I look out my office window here today, the corn has evened out. It's not the crop of our lives, but there's a crop out there. There's some places that have really big holes in the middle of the field where the water took the plant out early. And same with the soybean fields. But things are looking okay. There's some aphid pressure, not too bad yet in the soybeans. I don't think you have to go too much farther to the west where it's a little different situation. The corn is yellow or non-existent and the beans have really big holes in the middle of the field. But right here in Mapleton, Minnesota, things are looking okay. Not great, but okay.
How did you do on weed control?
We were fairly aggressive on weed control. It was a little tricky to figure out when to get out there and take care of some of those things. But here again, because we had some soft fields, we did end up using some aerial application, which we were grateful for. But our fields are looking pretty clean right now, and we'll know a lot more about some of the pest things in the next day or two.
And with the hog operation, obviously price volatility has been a challenge, but as far as the health of the pigs and things like that, has 2018 gone pretty smoothly?
For us at Highland Family Farms, we've had some good pig health, which is always great. I'm not going to say that, you know, tomorrow afternoon we won't get a call that there's been an outbreak in something, but we've been so grateful and fortunate to have had really healthy pigs coming in and out of those barns.